Okay, so how is everyone?
I'm good, waiting for the next module.
Okay, so you are excited or not so much?
I am. I'm interested to know more about it.
Cool.
Yes, me too. I'm looking forward.
Cool, that's great to know. So we have module number six, which is called Inner Peace. I'm sure you heard about Inner Peace in maybe some movies. One of my favorite movies is an animation movie. It's Kung Fu Panda. And there is this turtle that have reached inner peace, and another character, which is a mouse, is striving to get to inner peace. And it's a great movie. I recommend it to anyone. It's great for kids as well. It's one, like I said, it's one of my favorites of all times. And it's funny that that movie contains actually some real elements from the Asian arts, because in Asian art, in Buddhism, in Neidan, in Qigong, one of the main objectives is for people to reach inner peace when they go on a journey to make spiritual advancement. And there are many levels, in my opinion, of inner peace, because it's difficult to get to complete clarity. It's difficult. So the first phase of getting toward inner peace is, like we talked in the previous modules, is to be able to sustain a state where you are without intrusive thoughts. And I'm sure you can understand what intrusive thoughts are. So basically, when you try to meditate, see if you can stay in a state where you don't have thoughts that come you didn't require for them to appear. And most people cannot do that. And it takes some patience, it takes some practice to get to something like that. Then after you reach that phase where you are able to stay without thoughts, then you look into emotions and you check the emotional states. Are you in a state of tranquility, of calm, of full relaxation from an emotional perspective? Or there are still some nuances of emotions that maybe are not perfectly calm and relaxed? Right now, I'm mostly in that phase where I'm still working with my emotional core. And of course, I have activities. I mean, I meditate most of the time, but I have activities. I meet people. I work on some projects. So I'm still in a proactive phase. I'm not like a monk that doesn't have anything else to do. So of course, as things manifest into my life, I still get some states of excitements that, if I leave them unchecked, they can create anxiety. With the past, I'm already at peace, most of it. I mean, I say most of it because you don't want to be too sure when it comes to things like this, because you can fool yourself, you can trick yourself. It's much better to stay humble all the time. There is a saying, never say never, right? So you cannot be certain about things when it comes to your subconscious mind, when it comes to your unconscious mind, your superconscious mind. So it's better to stay humble and allow surprises to come along. So inner peace is a stepping stone, and it's, in my opinion, one of the most important objectives that you want to achieve more and more inner peace when you want to take control of the manifestation of your life. Because what happens if you are in a state of vibrations that create turmoils, that create, in a way, tornadoes through thoughts, through feelings, those are still vibrations that you signal into the mirror of reality. And of course, the mirror has to obey, so to say. It will signal back at you what you signal. And of course, the reflection of anxiety is not necessarily the nicest one. I mean, something that you would prefer. Or the reflection of worrying. There was a saying, worrying is like praying for what you don't want, for what you don't prefer. So that's why I'm not a big advocate of visualization and just visualize and that's it. And I'm not saying it doesn't have some effect. And there are some people that said, like, look, I was visualizing this objective for thousands of times. But they don't really say, like, look, I had to calm myself in that process. I had to become comfortable with that visualization to able to see myself as somebody who is achieving that in the present moment. And that's how you signal correctly in the mirror of reality who you are, and the mirror gives you back the feedback of events, the feedback of experiences. This is who you are, okay? Reality confirms. For peace of mind, of course, that's why I spoke also about nutrition, about water, preferably with lemon. And I also spoke about meditation and introspection, because you cannot take fragments of your being and think this is something general. And I can explain. You cannot say, like, okay, I'm peaceful because I'm relaxed about this thing in my life. No, it's about the total reality, about all the things that happen to you and about all the things that happen on the inside of you, in your mind, in your soul as emotion, in your body. So those elements, all those elements have an impact in the total reflection of reality. It's like you cannot look with only one eye. Let's give a funny example, that is smiling and the rest of the face is frowning, and expect the mirror to be totally smiling back at you. Yes, you'll see one, the eye that smiles, the reflection of that eye will smile back at you. But if the rest of the face is frowning, you will see that as well as a reflection. So in a way, you have to become aware and objective, very, very objective, when it comes to the truth. Because the truth, like I said, is one of the paths to enlightenment. So it's much better to accept the truth as it is, because it's not necessarily good or bad. It's what you make of it can become great or worse or bad. What you make of it. And I can give you examples. I got sick when I was 20-something. I told you about this in my late 20s with arthritis and psoriasis. At that time, I felt that somehow, you know, the life just screwed me. I mean, I was having, so to say, success when it came to money. I was having success when it came to love. But it got me to realize, like, look, you can have these two, and if you don't have your health, it's basically useless almost. I mean, okay, I used money to get to the best doctors, and the answers they gave me were not very pleasant. Some doctors told me I will not be able to walk in a couple of years. And other than trying to manage these diseases, there's nothing much that I can do about it. And it's easy to look at that situation, how it is very, very bad. But look, right now I see it as an opportunity. Like an opportunity to take some time to not just go recklessly on the money path, on the career path, and to just try to make as much money as possible, and that's it. It says, stop. Your purpose as a spirit here is not to get in a rat race of who makes the most money. It made me proactive about my nutrition. It made me proactive about meditation. It made me proactive about, let's say, healing myself, healing my soul, healing my spirit, healing my body. It made me research a lot more than I used to when it came to spirituality and health. And without this knowledge, I wouldn't be in the position I am right now. And I prefer it much more than in a position where I had more money, but my life would just be a mess. And I've met people like that. And I'm sure people can think of other people who have the money issue solved, but they have a lot of other areas in a turmoil. There are even famous examples like that. Let's look at, for example, the kings of pop, Michael Jackson or Elvis Presley. From a career perspective, they went to the top. I mean, both of them were multi-millionaires. They were famous, very, very famous. Many women loved them, so love was easy for them. But they didn't have inner peace. And that beat them, so to say. That messed up their life. They went to doctors, they took chemicals. I mean, they have almost like a similar path, these two guys. But from the outside, you expect, yes, I get in a position when I'm rich and famous and everything is perfect. And it's not really like that. If I had to choose between being rich and having peace of mind, I would totally choose peace of mind. It's much more important. And people who have money already, they can understand that. I'm not saying being rich is not fun. It's not nice. It's not important. It's great. But I would totally prioritize peace of mind in front of money, in front of almost anything else. Because once you get to peace of mind, you get into a phase where you can build. If you are at peace with the money that you have, with your financial situation, then you can start a growing process. If you are at peace with your loving life, with your love situation, then you can start a growing phase. If you are at peace with the health you have, then you can do something about it. You can make progress. And I gave you a resource for that in the module about nutrition and health. So yeah, it's one of the most difficult situations, like to have problems with your health. But get to peace, do the things that Anthony William teaches, and yes, you will achieve success. I'm very, very confident about it. So inner peace is a stepping stone, is in a way is the path. Is the path to getting more and more into a good life. Is one of the most safe and efficient paths that there are. And to me, it's a bit, so to say, weird that not so many people desire peace, although it's so important. You look at what people want. People want more money. They want cars. They want, you know, to have fun. They want, I mean, traveling is great. They want traveling. I have nothing against that. I think it's one of the best things that you can spend money on, for sure. But so few people would say they want inner peace. However, it has such a profound impact in your life to be at peace. I'm sure in the future, I'm not sure when, but people will look at peace as a new wealth. Because look at what happens in society. Especially right now, I'm recording this module and we're in the middle of the COVID pandemic. And everybody's complaining. Everybody's complaining. When you are complaining, by definition, you are not in peace. But it's acceptable to complain. I'm not saying it shouldn't be acceptable, but nobody notices that, look, so many people are out of balance. And yes, it's not acceptable to do some other things that are more shallow, but being without peace is so acceptable because so few people actually have it. So few people actually have it. And if you look many times at people that are at peace, they are also pretty happy. And in most of the cases, they are pretty successful as well. Maybe you can help me with some questions. Sorina, Andrei.
Are there any physical techniques like doing yoga, or I know there is a guy, Ido Portal, who has a training program called The Movement. If you heard about it, that he promotes inner peace and gaining inner peace through exercising, through exercises. Do you know if this helps?
Well, there are many people who try to promote techniques, and I'm not saying that there are some techniques that are very effective. And I've done some techniques myself. I've done techniques when it came to Neidan, when it came to Qigong, when it came to shamanism even. However, every master that achieves mastery, from what I know, they go into meditation. They connect more and more with the present. And in my opinion, it's the most simple and effective way. It's the most simple and effective way, because of course you look at how marketing works, right? And many, many times people will say like, oh, I only received one technique. How much is that cost? Maybe it's not worth it. So, you know, there are like some other gurus that try to create a lot of content, try to create many techniques that are sometimes not easy to learn, sometimes can also be dangerous. I've seen some cases like that. And yes, because they have a package of many techniques and of many tricks, and you know, they can charge people more money. It's hard to put a price on simple things, in a way. Sometimes people don't like to reward that. But many, many times, the things that are very, very simple are hard to understand for beginners. And many people don't expect them to work so well. But success is usually simple. I can give you an example. One mentor of business that I had said to me, like, if you want to make $1 million, you have to put your business plan on a piece of paper. If you want to make $1 billion, you have to put your business plan on a post-it note. Another example that comes to mind, there was this Asian emperor who was wanting to put all the knowledge of the world together. And he called the most knowledgeable people in his life, and he gave them a mission. You have to write all the world's wisdom in a book. After a couple of years, people came and gave the king, the emperor, this is the book. He said, like, look at the book. Ah, it's too thick, too many pages. Put it on a paper. They look at each other without saying anything. And after a couple more years, they came back with a page. And the emperor looked at them. No, it's too much. I want only one phrase. After more years, they came back and said, the phrase was, there's no free lunch. So don't underestimate simplicity. Even Albert Einstein is famous for saying, everything should be made as simple as possible, but not simpler. And he is also famous for saying that there is genius in simplicity. One person that makes things too complicated, in a way, it means that he doesn't fully understand those things, that subject, very good as well. I mean, if you want, I can explain more meditation for inner peace. So meditation is a lot about awareness and stillness, because something who is at peace is much more at still. So in a way, when you look for peace, you want to look for stillness. And I have a famous quote from Bashar. For me, at least, it's famous. To move at infinite speeds, you have to be able to remain perfectly still. So people want tricks like visualization techniques and movements and, you know, like secrets. And well, try something like this. Try staying in one position without moving. And let's see if you can still everything else, if you can create stillness in everything else, in your mind, in your emotions, in everything else. Maybe focus on breathing, maybe focus on your lower belly, but see if you can create stillness. And I'd be surprised if somebody says, like, yes, I achieved 100% stillness. I'd be very, very surprised. I'm doing that for for years and years and years, and I still have work to do. Does it make sense?
Oh, yes. I wanted to ask you something about the flow state and how you can achieve such a flow state through meditation.
What do you mean by the flow state?
The creative flow state, when you are in such a state that you don't, nothing from the outside, from the exterior is bothering you, and you just put your thoughts on the paper and I don't know how to explain it exactly.
Yeah, I think I know. I wanted to make sure that we talk about the same thing. So there is even a book, a famous book that I recommend, although I have to admit that I haven't read it, but I'm sure it's very, very good because it was recommended a lot. And it's Flow by this author. I'm clicking right now on it. Mihaly. Nah, I don't know how to pronounce it. I will just give it as reference. I'll just give you the link if you want to make a nice workbook about it. For sports people, it's called the zone. That's how in sports it's referred to, the flow state. What both of these have in common the most is to be able to connect with the present. Because in a way, what hinders productivity is when we have interrupted thoughts. I mean, I have to talk about this. So the problem is that most people are focused in the past and in the future. And you can see signals, clear signals, because usually when you are focused in the past, there is like worrying. If you are focused in the future, there is anxiety. And in the present, only in the present, you can be totally calm. So in a way, to get more and more into a so-called flow state or so-called zone state, it's important to be more and more in the present, in as much stillness as possible, because then you can use the brain more efficiently. You know, many people said that, look, we only use 10% of our brain, or some percentage like that, around those numbers, 10, 12, whatever, maybe less. From my research, I know that we use 100% of our brain all the time. However, the efficiency, the effectiveness of that is just 10%. Because we have many conflicting beliefs. We have many conflicting emotions. And we consume a lot of energy in dealing with that. So you achieve flow, because energy flows all the time, the more you get in the present. And now, as a benefit for people that are excited about so-called special effects, about, you know, having superpowers and stuff like that, once you are able to still your mind and to still your emotions, you are also able to notice the flow of the energy inside you. You are also able to notice the energy, how it's working on your chakras. You are also able to notice the energy from your third eye, from the tantiem, the lower belly area, from the heart, which is called in Nendai Jongtian. In Neidan, it's called Jongtian. And it is being said that over there is the reincarnation energy that is burning. So you are able to notice your own energy flowing. So yes, when you are in calm, you are at peace, when you are in the present, more and more still, you are able to also access a lot more flow, a lot more zone. You are able to be more productive. I mean, even these calls, I mean, as you know, I've made some notes, and I'm in the flow, I'm in the present myself. And I'm channeling, in a way, my higher self. I'm channeling my spirit. And I think the content so far is pretty good. although I haven't really prepared it, but it's something that I already knew, and I wanted an easy format to be able to express it. Does it make sense, Andre?
Oh, yes, thank you.
You're welcome. So let's talk about a bit about emotions, because like I said, emotion is probably the most important factor in manifestation, because emotion contains motion, energy motion. Emotion is vibration. Everything is vibration. We signal vibration and we receive back vibration in the experiences we are having in and within the physical reality. So look at the present. And Sorina gave me an example. What if you fear spiders? Is there a spider right now in the present reality? Chances are no. So it's something that is worrying you from the past, or maybe something about the future. Will I have enough money to be good in the future? Will I have a good lover in the future? You know, it's still anxiety. But what if, for example, you love yourself? You love yourself and you are in love, in a loving state already with yourself. Doesn't make sense that you'll attract through vibration a much better person or people, or I don't know, that are more relevant to that vibration. Taking care of the present doesn't, in a way, guarantee the future, because there's only the present moment that is ever changing, giving us the illusion of the future. Or, I mean, the only actions you can actually do are, in a way, in the present. I mean, you can plan something, but it's still planning from the present and commitment. And in the present that arrives, you will be able to do some more things. So you can only act in the present. You cannot act in the future or in the past. So take care of the present. And the future and the past will somehow diminish, will become less and less important. Because look, you're smiling in the mirror. Yes, in the next moment of present, and in the next moment of present, and in the next moment of present, if you keep smiling, the mirror will keep smiling back at you. Why should you worry about the past? Like, look, I saw the mirror was frowning at me. That mirror is tricky. If you know that you are smiling in the present and the mirror is smiling, maybe with a small delay sometimes, but it's still smiling more and more in the present, why should you care about the future? Because if you know you can keep on smiling, why wouldn't the mirror smile back at you in the future as well, which is the present as well, once we get to that moment? So be concerned with the present, because everything is in the present. Achieve stillness and peace in the present, and the reflection will be that of stillness and peace. Okay, maybe there will still be some events and some feedbacks that are delayed energy from the past. But why would you worry about it? Do you want to create more problems in the future present? Not really. You just stay calm and still aware. There was a good saying, can you do something about this situation? If it's yes, great, do it and don't worry. If it's no, okay, there's nothing you can do, so don't worry. So it's important to drop and to calm down more and more worrying, anxiety, and some other, let's call them negative spectrum emotions, by paying attention to them, watching them, discovering what beliefs you have inside that maybe sustain them, and drop perspectives that are limiting you, limiting beliefs, so to say. Drop them. Compare them to the ultimate truths. Understand that there is a path to nirvana, to ecstasy. I'm not there yet, but that's my most important goal right now. How do I want to achieve that? When the mind is clear, joy follows like a shadow that never leaves. Joy. More and more joy, guess what? Eventually, it will reach ecstasy, love, unconditional love. But I work The same. I work with stillness. I work with calm. I work with present. It's simple, but it's very complex at the same time, because you notice all kind of nuances. It's never boring. It's never boring. Boring is anxiety. Nothing happens in the present moment. Nothing happens in the present moment. There's always something that is happening in the present moment. Always pay attention to it. Look at on the inside. Can you remain still until the universe gives you back the next action you should do with clarity? This was a quote, so to say, by Lao Tzu. I can look for the quote. Do you have the patience to wait until your mud settles and the water is clear? Can you remain unmoving until the right by itself? He is one of the enlightened masters from the past. And obviously, he is having the purpose of inner peace. In the second most read book in the world, which is Tao Te Ching, the way of Tao, Taoism. And Neidan is the practice of that, from what I know. So do you have the patience to go further and further and further and further until the water is clear? By water, you usually refer to emotion as a symbol. And guess what? Joy is emotion. Ecstasy is emotion. These are components of the soul. Spirit is consciousness, is pure awareness. You work with spirit to nurture and grow the soul. Does it make sense?
It does. I was wondering how you can work on being more peaceful or not worrying when your life doesn't allow you to. Like, for instance, if you have small children or multiple jobs and your life is very stressful.
Yeah, it's not something that it's easy all the time. But everything is simple if you are clear and you have clarity about the next steps. I'm sure you can find some time, although your schedule may be hectic, to meditate, to introspect. Introspection is maybe good for clearing up old beliefs and old patterns of thinking. Meditation is good for getting your energy levels. It's like bodybuilding for energy. So you can still make some time for yourself. And I mean, you have to be responsible with your choices. I mean, if you got children, chances are you had that choice, right? I mean, it was you who chose to have children. And I can give you an example. Right now, I don't have children, but if you look at other masters, like Jesus, like Buddha, like Lao Tzu, from what I know, they didn't have children too. So in a way, I'm not rushing to have children. I'm not rushing. I'm not saying don't have children. I'm not saying, I mean, if you have excitement for having children, go have them. It's great. But I act on my highest excitement. I give priority to my highest excitement, because in a way, excitement contains and is allowing me to understand the spirit plan, the soul plan, which are higher components than the mind, than the physical mind, to be more precise. So there is a way, there is always a way. But I'm not saying it will be easy if you have a life where you don't have so much free time. But still, the best investment you can do is take some time to get more clarity. Take some time to get more emotional peace and more inner peace overall. And solutions will present themselves. Chances are vibration will attract those opportunities and act on them. You don't have to remain in a desperate situation just complaining like, I'm in a desperate situation. Look at me, I'm in a desperate situation. Because then you're just frowning at the mirror in a weird way. Mirror cannot help but reflect back what you're signaling. And we will talk more about that in the next module. What to do when you are in a desperate situation, where there is too much stress in your life and it's hard maybe to get into a place of clarity, of stillness, of emotional balance, where maybe there are too many things that you have to do and you don't have too much time, so much time. We'll get more of that in the next module. Does that answer your question?
Yes, that's great, actually. I think it will be very useful for our listeners.
Right. More questions, please. Help me.
I wanted to add earlier, Andrei was talking about techniques and you mentioned breathing at some point. And I just remembered about the Wim Hof breathing technique and if you think it's useful to achieving inner peace, at least for beginners.
Well, I happen to have a friend who is pretty close to me and he's a trainer, a practitioner of the Wim Hof method. So I'm pretty familiar with that. I would say it's working so well because in a way it's sensational. You see people that are almost naked in ice, right? Staying. So this creates a lot of marketing virality. Because the person goes to that seminar, has some pictures with himself in the ice, almost naked, or in the winter, and it looks in a way spectacular. So that's why in a way it became so popular. But something popular doesn't mean it's necessarily good. And I can give you the example of McDonald's. It's probably like one of the most popular foods, if not the most popular right now. Is it the best food? By far, no. One of the worst. Sorry, but it's true. Or fast food in general, right? I mean, if you look at fast food, it's cheap. It gives the impression that the taste is great. It triggers and it tricks the brain. Is it the best food? By far, no. Is it the most popular? Probably, yeah. And yeah, I mean, it gets the point. I mean, yes, if you're starving and, you know, you're in a desert and you have nothing to eat, of course, you can eat McDonald's. Maybe I'll be a bit bad with yoga. I'll be a bit like, I'll put yoga in a lower position. But honestly, I haven't made too much progress and I haven't made, so to say, too much research and overall progress, I can say, with yoga. And it's one of the most popular spirituality techniques because it's focused on something, let's call it more sensational, more spectacular. There's nothing too sensational and spectacular about stillness, except maybe being able to remain still in the lotus position, because it's a hard position to achieve. You need a lot of flexibility on the legs. But other than that, stillness looks very, very boring from the outside, and it doesn't look like something who is effective. And I can give the examples of fights, right? When, you know, superhero fights in the movies, you see like sensational moves and la 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 and a lot of ballet and a lot of, you know, special effects. And if you look at real fighting, the best hits are the ones that are very, very simple, are the ones that are very, very simple. You don't see so many flips and so many, you know, swings and so. So people, I think there is a belief where people don't believe that something is actually simple to achieve. And they imagine it must be hard. There must be many, many secrets. And yeah, sometimes there are some insights to be gained. But they are not necessarily secrets. You can pay attention. The insights and the revelations unfold. And whatever it is that you need to know all the time. That's how it works. The universe always gives you what you need. Always. On a spirit level, first and foremost. On a soul level, second. But sometimes the spirit chooses a specific direction, a specific experience. When I'm talking about cases that look helpless from the outside. So, Wim Hof method. Honestly, I don't like the breathing technique with the mouth. Because the nose is designed to take in the air. And I've seen sometimes, even Wim Hof, I mean, I'm not, I don't want to diminish some of his results, which are much more than impressive. I think he's doing a wonderful job to motivate people and to give them a lot of spiritual insights. I mean, I highly respect him, and I can say I admire his results. But from my knowledge of Asian arts and meeting people that had powers that to me they looked even more impressive, I know that they take in air through the nose, not through the mouth. The nose is designed also to filter viruses and bacteria. And it's all about breathing that is very soft and very deep. Ideally, you should breathe through your belly. That's how a newborn is breathing. If you watch it, the belly fills with air from a newborn baby. We don't breathe from the lungs. If you want to get into more and more relaxation, if you want to go into deeper and deeper meditation. If you are very, very relaxed and you breathe deeply, very soft, very calm, you'll notice that the belly moves. Does it make sense?
It does. Thank you.
Great. Help me with more questions, please.
How do you know when you found inner peace?
Ask yourself in the present moment. Am I at peace right now? Go do it. Is there something missing?
Oh, yes.
See, you receive answers. Mm-hmm. For most people, they'll say, yes, I'm missing something. I'm missing. Yes, if you're missing something, by definition, you are not in inner peace, because everything that you need, you have. For 99 point something of situations of people you have in the present moment. And someone will say, like, yes, I need to go to the bathroom. Go to the bathroom. You know, clear that out. Do you need anything else right now? Or you need to drink some. I need to drink some water. Okay, drink some water. Do you need anything else right now? Make sense?
Yes, it makes sense. But what if you have everything you've wanted, but you still don't feel you achieved inner peace?
Well, that's the paradox, because there are cases of people who achieved exactly what they wanted and they entered depression. And you will hear about that even from athletic people, like, you know, that win, maybe they win the gold medal in sports. And yes, I achieved what I wanted, and yeah, I got into depression. So inner peace, in a way, is not something that the mind can achieve, the physical mind by itself. You have to work with your total inner world, with the inside universe. Because emotions, you cannot control emotions with the mind. And this is something that most people understand now. You cannot choose and force with the will of your physical mind how you feel. Feeling is flowing all the time. Feeling is like a baby. You have to allow it to express itself. You have to be patient. You have to nourish it. Inner peace is first and foremost emotional. Because the power, the biggest power in our body, is contained by the soul, which is the emotion. And you can see that. You need excitement to be motivated. You need passion to be motivated. If you have passion, then you can achieve amazing things. You can work for hours and hours and hours and days, and it doesn't feel like work. Feels great. That's the power of emotion. And you feel, when you feel apathetic and depressed, nothing happens. I mean, almost nothing works, correct?
Oh, yes.
So people, in a way, put too much weight on the physical mind. That's one of the problems of society. But the physical mind is just a tool to receive the highest thoughts it can receive from the higher mind, from the spiritual mind, which at the ultimate level is connected to God. But God, from what I know, is the observer. He gave us his thoughts. However, based on the vibration state we are in the present moment, we receive thoughts from a lower spectrum, from a lower level or fats from a higher level. That's why you can easily explain how when you feel great, you have amazing fats. When you feel bad, you have terrible fats. When you are calm, you have clear fats. When you have clear fats, guess what? You get into flow. It's easy. It's simple. Does that answer your question?
Oh, yeah. Thank you.
More questions, please.
Well, I was wondering what's your opinion on meditation tapes that are supposed to work while sleeping, either guided ones or those with delta waves?
I actually have used them in the past quite a lot. And I think they're pretty effective because they put out a frequency in the physical space that you are. I'm not saying you should rely on them. They are like something that help. So, for example, I go sometimes on YouTube and I look for sacral chakra vibration or like third eye vibration or fourth chakra, the heart chakra vibration to align that. It helps. It helps. I think it can help you relaxate. It can help you activate a specific area where you feel you have troubles. But you shouldn't rely on them as enough to make a lot of progress. So yeah, they're helping for sure. And if you are excited about that, use them. But you cannot replace meditation when it comes to effectiveness to achieve more stillness, to achieve more inner balance and inner peace. You cannot replace that. You want to have proactive work towards that. And yes, you can meditate and put a sound and help you with that. But my experience has been that the more I have advanced more and more into the present moment, right now I can even to listen to music that is calm and relaxing from YouTube. I don't want to listen to heavy metal or stuff like that, or, you know, folk music. I can say Manele. I cannot, I don't want to, I could, but I don't want to listen to Manele and meditate. But in a way, at some point, the best is probably silence and nature sounds, because you allow for synchronicity as well, more and more. And yes, you have synchronicity with TV, you have synchronicity with, you know, I'm sure many people experience, like, you think about one person and that person, you know, calls you or, you know, reaches you, which is synchronicity. And synchronicity is something that happens all the time. It was noticed and talked about by Carl Jung. And I try, and it's not a good word, I know. I try. It's not a good word. I allow, it's a better word. I allow to be inspired and to be excited when I choose the tools to help me progress further. One formula that I respect a lot is act on your highest excitement until the point where you cannot go any further with that without any expectations about what the result has to be. This is the usual formula that I apply in my life for actions. So I don't try to do too many things. I do the things that are in a way mandatory. Like, for example, my assistant comes and I need to sign a contract or stuff like that, right? Okay, no problem. I do that. Or I have a meeting, an important meeting or something like that with somebody. But I don't want to do too many actions, because I also want to look at that quote that I gave. Do you have the patience to wait until your mud settles and the water is clear? Can you remain unmoving until the right action arises by itself? I look at that. And less is more. Less is more. if you want to move at infinite speeds, you have to be able to remain perfectly still. And I found many, many times that if I don't act so much, many things just fix themselves. I remain positive. I'm in a positive state. I'm doing what I have to be doing, so to say, in case there are some items like that. But I don't try to do busy work, to create too much activity for the sake of results, because busy work doesn't really work. And people that are entrepreneurs or people that are experienced with productivity can relate to that very, very well. It's much more important to have clarity. It's much more important. Like one of the books that I recommend for productivity is The One Thing. Pick the action that has the highest impact, the highest meaning, and focus on that. So I do things one thing at a time. And I don't want to do too many things usually. I prefer to do less things that are extraordinary than to just do many things that are good. Does that answer your question?
It does. Thank you.
Cool. More questions, please.
There are people who had some traumatizing experiences during their life, like things they can never forget or get over them. Can these people achieve inner peace?
Well, there is no such thing as a thing you can never forget. You can forget. You can forgive. I think it's much more important to forgive than to forget. To be able to accept that, okay, this was an event that happened in the past. And it happened in the past. I mean, there was a reason for that happening. And in most cases, like I said, if you have a positive perspective, if you have a positive attitude, you can extract a benefit from it. Because reality is neutral. It gives you the feedback that you need. And I can give a nice story. There was a father, a farmer, who had children, and some wild horses were in the area. And the father took one of those horses, like the most beautiful horse, and everybody was saying, wow, such a fortune, you got such a great horse, this wild horse. And the father just replied, maybe it's a fortune, maybe it's a misfortune, we don't know. Some years passed by, and one of his youngest children, a boy, while he was riding on the horse, he broke a leg and he couldn't walk very good anymore. And all the people gathered and said, oh, such a bad fortune, such a bad fortune, such a bad fortune. The father replied as well, maybe it's a fortune, maybe it's a misfortune. We don't know. Couple of years later, that country where they lived went at war with some enemy, and it was a call of arms. So every young boy had to go to fight the war. And the young guy that got injured, because he was injured, he didn't have to go there. Everybody that went there died to fight the war. So in a way, life can be like that. People put too much meaning in events, but universe doesn't have an attached meaning. It allows you to put your own meaning. Some people will say, like, yes, Cyprian, but you still had a bad event with your health. And like, you know, like, la, 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 look at what happened. Why should you say that this is not something bad with the health? There are people that will look at it like that. But I know it gave me a priority in life. It helped me with that. I cannot look at it as a misfortune, the problems with my health. I can look at an opportunity that is like a barometer. I mean, I had this problem, so I had to focus on my body. I had to focus on myself. I had to focus on my soul, on my spirit, to work with that, to grow. Maybe it was a great fortune that happened to me. A quote from Dalai Lama was saying, sometimes not getting what you want is an incredible stroke of luck. Which is true. So the events in life are relative, are neutral. Look at the lottery winners. Such a great fortune. Yeah, they won millions and millions of dollars. I don't know. most of them end up being more debt and more broke. Does it make sense?
Oh, yes.
More questions, please.
I haven't personally had this issue, but I read that it's quite a common problem for beginners. So do you think it's normal to have a headache while meditating?
Well, we fear pain. We fear pain so much, but one of my master was saying, pain turns into bliss. Pain, in a way, indicator. We don't have to fear it so much. We just have to observe it and relax into it. Pain is also healing. I mean, if we have some pain and we can, so to say, cope with it, it means that area is healing. We can pay attention to that. We can allow it to give us lessons, to give us teachings. So a headache could mean, for example, that there is brain activity and maybe that the third eye area is developing at some point. It's decalcifying. It's allowing energy to be able to balance the reptilian areas, the spine, the instinctual brain, so to say, to calm it. Who knows? Don't look at pain as something necessarily bad. Well, I mean, dealing with throughout the years while I was healing, but I realized it's not as bad as people will want to think. And like, for example, Arnold Schwarzenegger, when he was doing exercises, he started to count after he was feeling pain. That's how he got so amazing results in bodybuilding. Don't worry that the universe is throwing at you more than you can handle. It never does that. By definition, if something happens in your life, it means God, and God loves you unconditionally. So if you have a relative perspective, an objective, you might find the benefit and the positive aspect from that situation, and you'll benefit from it. It will make your life turn into something even more positive. Does that answer your question?
Yes, it did. Thank you.
Welcome. More questions, please.
Well, I have another maybe simple question, but I thought I'd get your thoughts about this. If we have a choice, so if we're not too busy, how long should we meditate for? Daily, let's say.
Well, my choice right now is to, at any moment that I have the opportunity, I just focus more and more on my inner universe, and I'm allowing more and more relaxation and comfort and ease to come into my body, into my mind, into my emotions. So for me, this is something ongoing. Of course, usually more is better when it comes to this kind of practice, in my experience at least. But what I'm saying is about doing exercises that make you become more and more present and make you and more calm and still. So the more you can do it, the better it is usually. There are maybe some exercises with visualization and some, I don't know, some movements that could potentially be dangerous. So, yeah, it doesn't apply to those. But when we are talking about stillness, about relaxation, there is no potential downside to it. I mean, worst case scenario, we can fall asleep. That's usually good anyway. People don't get as much sleep as they should. Does that answer the question?
Yeah, thank you.
Right, more questions, please.
How should we react when difficult situation?
I prefer the word response than react. Because in a way, reaction, you are doing an out of balance movement, so to say. And I can give an example. Buddha was surrounded by other people, and he was teaching some of his lessons. And one man just came, went to Buddha and slapped him. People reacted like, oh, how did he do that to our guru, to our master? And Buddha just said, so, what's next? Everybody was like, oh, how come Buddha allowed this? He just said, what's next? And the guy started crying after he saw, he was expecting a reaction of angry or fury from Buddha. And he just remained calm. He looked at it and, okay, what's the thing here? And he started crying. He asked again, so what's next? If it makes any sense, this example. So in a way, it's best if you can remain in a state of calm when you receive something unexpected. However, if you cannot calm, because maybe there is like some anger that is automatic or some other problem, some emotional response like that, it's better to calm down. There is this exercise like, you know, first count to 10, calm down, and then do something, right? You know that one, right? Count to 10, and then the point is not necessarily to count to 10. The point is to be able to relax and be at peace and be in a state of calm when you do something. If you have too much anxiety, if you have too much emotional turmoil, chances are your action will not be very, very good. So that's why I prefer the word response than reaction. Reaction is reactive. It's like, imagine slapping somebody and that person reacting to that, no, slapping back, punching. No, just calm down. Be in a state of calm until you can figure out through clarity what's the best action that you should take next. And I can refer back. Do you have the patience to wait until your mud settles and the water is clear? Can you remain unmoving? And by unmoving, I mean unmoving in an impulsive decision. You can walk in the park. You can do, so to say, automatic actions. You can breathe, of course, until the right action arises by itself. This is a good response to that action. It makes sense?
Yes, thank you. Oh, and how can we stop questioning ourselves and the choices we've made in our life?
Well, this is related to worrying about the past, actually.
Yes.
Maybe there are still some misaligned beliefs over there. Look at the emotion that you're feeling and ask yourself, what would I have to believe is true to feel this emotion that I'm feeling right now? We can go into an example if you want, if you allow for openness, so to say.
No, I myself, I don't have any choices I regret, but I was thinking that our listeners would, some of our listeners would ask this question.
Okay, I understand. Still the same principles that I taught, still the same formulas that I gave. Calm the mind, calm the thoughts, calm the emotions. Look, observe, and introspect on the definitions that you hold to, on the beliefs. Compare them to the ultimate truth, if you need to. Is that the ultimate fundamental truth? Is this something that governs the universe? No, it's not, most of the times. More questions, please.
Do you think that using social media on a daily basis can have an effect on inner peace?
Well, I mean, there are studies that show that, in a way, you go to social media whenever you want, like a hormone hit, like a dopamine hit or stuff like that, right? So, in a way, people become anxious. They get, in a way, into boredom, and they want something to happen, right? I mean, they want to see things that are not necessarily that important. And I cannot condemn it, because obviously it's everyone's choice what they do with their time and their energy. I'm just saying it's not so important. Not so important to check on social media and, you know, I mean, it's a big way so to say, to waste your time and your energy, in my opinion. Of course, there are also positive benefits. I mean, maybe you can follow some people and some, so to say, some pages that have inspirational content, or you are learning something from them. But, you know, that's so to say, the exception. But if you just follow a lot of people and you are curious about what they are doing, I mean, maybe, you know, it's easy to waste time like that. It's easy to waste time. So myself, I don't do so much social media nowadays. I mean, I talk with people. I use the tools to talk to people, you know, because you have Messenger and it allows me to connect to some friends, or you have WhatsApp, or you have some other tools like that, Telegram maybe. But I don't really overuse it. Myself, I allow as big priority in my current state to progress further and further with meditation and with healing. And of course, I also look for excitement. I do projects that I'm excited about, like this one. I speak with important things. I mean, I think even Andre knows that I usually don't give too many indications, too many. In a way, maybe you could say that I don't work as much, but what I give as input is usually important. Correct?
Yes.
So I don't try to create a lot of busy activity and give myself the illusion that I'm being productive. No, I want to make progress as much as possible in the present towards my spiritual goals. And I do things that are exciting in general. So social media for me is not so exciting right now, to be honest, to just consume time with looking at my feed and however someone says is doing, or, you know, it's not something something too exciting, to be honest.
All right.
More questions, please.
Do you think mantras can be useful?
Yeah, they can be very useful. I mean, there are some beliefs that you can repeat and rehearse, and in a way they can cut out the noise, because I mean, I had experience like that in the past where I was having difficulty in a way with becoming still because my mind was going nuts. And I knew it's just monkey brain, especially like in ceremonies like ayahuasca, for example. You can have that experience where you can go for a lot of negativity. And yes, I had even a ceremony where I was like repeating mantras to myself to help me navigate easier those vibrations and those energies. So I think they can be helpful. Yes, they can be very, very helpful. But I want to, so to say, make sure that you also understand that the word of God is silence. Everything else is a bad translation. So you shouldn't overuse noise. It's more important to allow more awareness, to allow more discovering. Because if you speak, you don't have a chance to listen, if it makes sense. So allow yourself to listen more. Because the inner universe is always communicating something. Make sense?
Yep.
Cool. More questions?
Well, I was wondering about all these different tools about spirituality and how they can help you achieve inner peace. So that's why I talked about mantras and stuff like that. But I was wondering now about physical stuff. Like, I know many people burn Palo Santo wood or sage. Do you think that's helpful?
Sure. That's helpful. But in a way, the ultimate tool is your own awareness. That's the ultimate tool, is the observation. So they are helpful, and I like them. I mean, Palo Santo, yeah, I mean, that's amazing. Shamans use it. You know, Mapacho, I used it a lot. And right now I'm in a situation, so to say, where I don't have access to it because of the pandemic, but I'm excited about using it again in the future. But it's great to use all tools, but it's also great to understand that the ultimate tool is inside you. It's your awareness. Because energy flows where attention goes. Attention, awareness, I think it's pretty similar from this. So whatever you put your attention on, you create a change. You allow for energy to move in that direction. I can give you an example. Let's say you're experiencing pain. The more you listen to it, the more you pay attention to it, the more you become more and more aware of it, the more and more that pain, it becomes to relax, and it's becoming less and less. You can breathe in as you become aware, and slowly and slowly and slowly, you'll notice how you will feel better and better and better. That's the ultimate tool. Use some other things, some other tools, they're great, but don't put more importance on those than what you can do with your own intention and your own power. More questions?
So some of us live in big cities where loud noises around us everywhere we go, and we don't always have the opportunity to have a peaceful, silent place, even in our own homes. Are there any ways we can meditate and achieve inner peace, even with these distractions from sounds and loud noises?
Yeah, that's a good question. I know it can be disturbing, and ideally you want access to fresh air and to peace. But still, any work will give you progress. So, yeah, I mean, if you have an opportunity to move and you're excited in an area that is with less noise, I mean, I live in a big city myself, but I live in an area where it's pretty clean air. I live next to a park, and somehow there are not so many noises. And I used to live in another place that had sometimes sirens and some other cars and disturbing, I have to agree. But I still made a lot of meditation and progress over there. I mean, in a way, through acceptance, through relaxation, the more relaxed you are, the more things that are happening on the outside bother you less and less. That would be my tip, so to say. So go to relaxation, go to stillness, go to calmness. If you're too agitated, focus on your breathing. Pay attention to your breathing. And as a mantra, you can say, I am that I am. And that's it. I am that I am. Breathe in, breathe out, repeat that, and that's it.
All right. So through exercise, we will be able to get our heads off the distractions.
Yes, it's like bodybuilding. Yes, at first, you can have a challenge with lifting more weight, but as you make progress and more progress, you become better, and you'll find, surprisingly, how opportunities, like, for example, myself, I had an opportunity to move into an even more quiet area. I didn't pay attention to it. Now that you mention it, it's something that's happening automatically because manifestation happens all the time. When you change your vibration, the reflection changes. I'm not so focused on the outside. I enjoy the outside, but my center of attention goes in the inside. And when you change the inside, the outside will have to change as well. Just have patience. Allow it to work. We have patience when a newborn baby is born, right? I mean, we have patience. We don't force it. We have patience with the tree that is growing. We don't force it. Allow a natural process to unfold. That's how it works. God doesn't waste time. God is timeless. He's outside of time. Time is contained within all that is, which is God. Allow the process. More questions?
For the moment, I can't think of anything else.
Sorina?
Me neither. If I think about something else, I'll talk about it tomorrow.
Okay, so for the exercise for today, allow yourself at least 15 minutes, even better will be 30 minutes, and go for stillness. Maybe it's better to close your eyes in the beginning, so you don't get yourself distracted. And go to as much inner peace within yourself that you can. Work out the noise. Automatically, when you clear out the noise through attention, through introspection, through objectivity, more and more peace will come. Because our natural state, our infinite state, is one of peace. And after peace comes, joy will follow. So focus on peace with this exercise. Ideally, you can take more time for that. You can do it daily or multiple times a day. I don't know what's your situation and how excited you are about that. For me, it's super exciting. It's probably like the most exciting thing right now. See exactly what applies to you and do that. Is that clear, the exercise?
Yes.
And it's simple, right?
Yes. Thank you.
Okay, have a good day. Talk to you tomorrow. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Have a good day. Bye-bye.